Please turn in your Bible to Mark, the 14th chapter. I'll begin reading on verse 43. As I'm reading, listen for the word of God. Suddenly, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came with a mob carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests, legal experts, and elders. This betrayer had given them a sign: arrest the man I kiss and take him away under guard. As soon as he got there, Judas said to Jesus, "Rabbi," and then he kissed him. Then they came and grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew a sword and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. Jesus responded, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like an outlaw? Day after day I was with you, teaching in the temple, but you didn't arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And all his disciples left him and ran away. One young man, a disciple, was wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They grabbed him, but he left the linen cloth behind and ran away naked. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know our steps are prone to wander. Please, with the help of your word and your spirit, may you help us find the path that's pleasing to you. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. If you're joining us online or through cable access, welcome. We're really glad that you're part of our extended worshiping congregation. If you're here in the church, you can put your hand in your bulletin and pull out a GPS, a Grow, Pray, and Study guide. Every participant in our church has been challenged to set aside time of your choosing each day, in scripture reading and prayer. The way that I was taught about quiet times was it was described to me like a spiritual meal. You know how we eat meals every day in order to keep ourselves physically, mentally strong and sharp, healthy. The same is true for spiritual quiet time. It's a spiritual meal that feeds our heart, and it reminds us again of the bigger picture and our purpose in life. It helps us to relate to other people. And if we don't do that, we don't have that regular connection, that spiritual meal with God, we become weaker in our walk, and we can even become sick in the way that we begin to deal with other people. So I really challenge you to take up that daily quiet time. Have that happening in your life. We're in a new sermon series. We're looking at living life unafraid, because most of us, as Americans, have common fears, and we're trying to address each one of those fears and look at the spiritual tools that God has made available to help us deal with those fears. One common fear that people have is loneliness, of being left alone. It isn't something that is common just to people who sit in a common community church like this. Even wealthy people, very famous people, can experience loneliness. I was looking for some quotes on loneliness, and Anne Hathaway talks about loneliness. She says, "It's my least favorite part of life. The thing that I'm most worried about is being alone without anybody to care for or someone who will care for me." or Josh Whedon, he's the director of the movie The Avengers. He said, loneliness is about the scariest thing that's out there. Or someone as world-renowned as Albert Einstein said, it's really strange to be so universally known and yet be so lonely. Ernest Hemingway, I live in a vacuum. It's as lonely as a radio tube when the batteries are dead and there's no current plugged into it. He ended his life by suicide. Or Marilyn Monroe, sometimes I think the only people who stay with me and really listen to me are people I hire, people I pay. She also committed suicide. Loneliness is all around us. You can see it in an empty mailbox, or if you go to a care facility, ask any of the people that work there who the people in the care facility are that never get visited, never get mail. People that are living by themselves and the phone never rings. But it isn't just being disconnected from other people. You can be in a congregation like this, in a community church with 150 people and feel alone. You can be in a struggling marriage and feel really alone. So we want to look at what are the things that God has made available to us that help us deal with this loneliness. And if what we say about Christ, that God has come to earth in human flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, then God knows what it's like to be lonely. The passage that I just read to you describes the loneliest night of Jesus' life. It's amazing how honest the Gospels are, how Matthew and Mark admit when Jesus needed us the most, we all ran away, every single one of us. We abandoned him. He was all alone. There's this haunting psalm that says, I'm like a wild owl, like a screech owl in the desert. I lie awake all night. I'm all alone like a bird on a roof. Loneliness is just part of the human experience. What is loneliness? It's a deep sadness when you realize you don't have anyone in your life that you're close to. Somebody that you care for and somebody who cares for you. When you don't have community, you don't have people that call and say, how are you doing? Or people that you can call and say, how are you doing? It's a very tragic experience. Now, the first thing I'm going to say about loneliness seems really insensitive, but it's, I think, true. Not all solitude is bad. In fact, there are times when we seek solitude to be alone in order to connect with God. I'm going to do a little experiment here. I want you to close your eyes. I'll keep my eyes open to make sure that those people sitting around you don't do anything mean to you while your eyes are closed, okay? Just close your eyes, and I want you to picture in your mind your most peaceful place. All right, you can open your eyes. Most of the time when you ask people to picture themselves in their most peaceful place, they think of a lake up north. It's very still, or a mountain scene, maybe out in the desert. But almost never will people, when they're picturing their most peaceful place, have any other people in that scene. How many of you had other people in that scene? 4, 5, 6. Okay. It's about right. There are times when we want to be alone. There are times when we need that peace, that downtime. It can be a creative time. Most people that are authors, artists, they need to be alone while they're creating. And it's certainly a spiritual practice to take some time alone on retreat and solitude to connect with God, to grow in empathy for other people. So not all loneliness is a bad thing. Sometimes we need to embrace loneliness as a spiritual tool. It's when it becomes extended and seems like it's smothering us. One of the things about loneliness that we need to notice is that unless there are rare circumstances where we're we're in a solitary confinement, we can typically do something about our loneliness. If you notice in a church like ours, every single week, if you read the bulletin, if you listen to the video announcements, if you scroll down below the video announcements, if you listen to the verbal announcements of church, we're inviting you. In a community church, you're constantly inviting people to be involved with this class or this Bible study or this missions trip. In order to create Christian community, in order to be a healthy place, we aren't a clique. To my knowledge, the greeters were not asking for Methodist IDs when you came into the church. Tell me if I'm wrong. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome at these classes. But sometimes we think to ourselves, I just don't want to be uncomfortable that way. What was it that we're coming down deeper? What is it? Is it the discomfort of getting to know other people? Or do you think to yourself, I do have enough family, enough friends, I'm satisfied in my relationships, and here's where I've got to bring some correction. Sometimes by showing up at those events, it's not for you, it's so other people can get to know you. By your showing up, maybe you do have a close family, maybe you do have close friends, but there are other people who don't. And when you show up for those events and they get to know your name and you get to be able to recognize them in the foyer, include them in your conversation, they're less alone. But that begins with us saying yes to certain invitations. I want to point you to a personal. Fernadelle Peoples is an example that I saw in the paper. She's a woman in Detroit. She grew up with severe curvature of the spine. She was teased every day as a kid. It was very painful. As she got older, she was thinking about her situation. She said, you know, I noticed I felt less alone when I was serving other people. There was a children's hospital that's close to her in Detroit, and so she began to volunteer there. For decades, she's gone down there every day of the week to volunteer. She says when she goes there, everybody knows who she is. Everybody says hi. She knows who most of the patients are, the long-term patients and the parents. Just look at the look on her face. She has a place in this world by offering herself, by serving in this place. Now, she admits in the article, she said, when I go home to this house that has nobody else in it, I feel the creep of loneliness again. But I know in the morning when I get up, I'm going to swing my legs off of the bed, I'm going to get dressed, and I'm going to go down to that hospital, and I won't feel for 8 hours lonely. Sometimes we're going to be asked, in order to deal with a feeling like loneliness, to do something that's outside our comfort zone so we can begin to establish relationships with other people. During the Lenten season, we're going to offer Lenten food and fellowship meals at people's houses. There's 6 meals that you'd actually have. I'm going to ask every single one of you to sign up. You say, oh my gosh, we're going to have meals, or I've already done, I'm involved with a different group. It's not always just for you. It might be for somebody else. I hope you'll all sign up. One of the things that we want to notice about Jesus' ministry, he was constantly inviting outcasts, the lonely, the disenfranchised, into his group. It was one of his primary ministries to look up in the tree and see little Zacchaeus all by himself and say, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Or to go out to the woman at the well who was standing out in the heat of the sun getting water all by herself and strike up a conversation with her. He was constantly including other people. And as Christians, as people who follow Christ, the example of Christ, if there's anything that you take away from the sermon, it's to follow that example and include other people in your journey. That by inviting other people to be a part of what's happening in your life, you can provide a life-changing experience for people. And I do mean that, life-changing. You know, when we have this greeting in the morning, you know why we do the greeting in the morning? There are people, that's the only physical contact they'll have all week long is you shaking their hand and saying hello to them by name. It's one of the things that was taught to us in seminary. It's breaking down barriers. If we could recognize that each day as we go through our day, we can change other people's lives. I was sitting in bed with my wife, and she was looking at her computer, and she said, "Hey, I want you to watch this clip." And by the end of the clip, we're both a mess, and so I want you to be a mess, so I want you to watch this too. So give your attention to the screen.
Not long ago, in a cemetery outside Augusta, Georgia, a loving couple was buried. The wife buried below this white bouquet. The husband buried above in a mound of grief.
Took me totally by surprise.
82-year-old Dan Peterson says after Mary died, he fell into a deep depression. Spent days just staring out at the squirrels.
What were you living for?
I was trying to figure that out, frankly.
You had no purpose?
No.
Were you just waiting to die?
Yeah.
For 6 months, it was just that bad.
And then one day you go to a grocery store.
It all changed inside this Publix.
Dan was nearing the end of the canned vegetable aisle. He hates grocery shopping, and by all accounts, the expression on his face confirmed his aggravation. But that's when this unapproachable man was approached by a 4-year-old girl named Nora Wood.
In the security footage, you can see Nora randomly reaching out to him. Her mom, Tara, says it was quite embarrassing.
She stood up and said, "Hi, old person, it's my birthday today."
Old person?
Old person.
"Hi, old person."
She says this to this cranky old man?
Yeah.
And then had the audacity to demand a hug.
I said, "A hug?" I said, "Absolutely."
Nora got her hug and then asked her mom to take a picture of her with her new friend.
She zeroed in on him like a missile. And she didn't want anything from him. She just wanted to make him feel loved and give him a hug. And his little lip quivered and he was teared up, and it was just sweet.
And I said, "You don't know. This is the first time for quite a while that I've been as happy."
That all happened a couple months ago, and his grin has only gotten wider since.
"Hi, sweetheart. Come in. Come in."
Today, Nora visits at least once a week.
"So how's my sweetie, huh?"
And every time, it's the grocery store all over again.
"I knew I was going to get a hug." Oh, it's unbelievable. Totally unbelievable.
"It's a bridge."
"It's a bridge. Oh, okay."
Dan does have grandkids of his own, but they're all grown and gone. And Nora does have grandparents. But her mom says this is a completely different kind of bond that almost defies explanation.
"She fell asleep holding a picture of them." What?
To Dan, it's equally miraculous, but far less mysterious. He believes Nora is, quite literally, an angel.
"She opened me to a love that I didn't know existed."
Dan, let me ask you. When your wife died, you felt like you didn't have any purpose anymore. Do you feel like you have a purpose now?
"Of course. Nora, watching her grow up, I know I made room in my heart for a lot more."
So why can't you be that kind of angel to somebody? Why can't you open up your own life and your own journey to somebody else, and in the process open their heart up to life and love that they're not experiencing right now? If we follow the example of Christ, we will. Amen.